This is CliffCentral.com.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threaded Exchange with Siyabonga Bile. Live on Cliff Central.
The Threaded Exchange with Siyabonga Bile, live on Cliff Central. This is Siyabonga Bile, as I said before, and I'm here from Johannesburg on the best podcast station in the world, and that is Cliff Central. A lot of people might send me hate and say I'm talking a bunch of crap, but I believe that it is. And yeah, I've been away for the last 2 weeks. Sorry, guys. I've been sorting out some stuff with my business. But yeah, I'm here today, and I'll be here for the longest time. And in future, I'll make sure that I, you know, make some new podcasts for you guys so that if anything happens and I can't be in studio, that I am present, even if I'm not present. And today I've got a very special guest who comes from the same hood. His name is Apiwe, and we're going to be talking all things film today. We're going to talk about, as you guys might not know, and I hope you do know, he's a lead actor in the new series called Nkululeko that just finished season one on Mzansi Magic. I've heard rumors that it's going to be continued for season two. And Apiwe Mkhefe is from Ekapa, Kwalanga. And as you, if you follow my story and my journey, you'll know that's where I come from. So we're going to be chatting to him today and chat about his journey. How does he go from Kwalanga, Cape Town, and come to Joburg? And the time he comes to Joburg, he's a lead actor on one of the best drama telenovelas. I don't know what to call these things.
Telenovela.
And these things, like, I don't know what a soap is. I don't know what a telenovela is.
Actually, he will let us know.
So, like, he has a lot of explaining to do and to tell us about that. How are you guys doing, friends?
Yo, we are getting there.
What's wrong? What makes you say you're getting there? What does getting there mean?
Getting there just means, you know, just getting your shit together, getting the plans, you know, strategies and stuff in order. That's part of the hustle. It's part of the hustle.
Yeah. I feel the same way too. Yeah. I feel like, I was saying this morning, I feel like a caged animal because, like, I'm going through this process in my business where we have to build all these structures these foundations. And I'm like, fuck. like the last 2 weeks I had to be in court in Cape Town. I had to deal with like copyrights and stuff because I want to take 300 Man into product. So I had to go to court and sort some things out. But it's good. It's good.
Structures are for life. You know?
Structures are for life. And there's no point in like flying high without having a solid foundation. And I think I've learned that the hardest way. So foundation is very important.
Yeah, you'll crash.
You'll crash. So I've just been following these things and like working on budgets, working on plans. The boring stuff. 3Man's relaunching and all that stuff. So we got to make sure we're on top of that. How's the music journey going, guys?
Bro, it's going great, really. We have a mix for the people.
A deep one.
Why deep house? Like, why deep house?
I don't know. I think deep house is just it's that thing. It's almost like African trance music.
Yeah.
It's like you go into trance and you listen to deep house. So that's why we love deep house so much.
Yeah. So tell us about this mix. I'm gonna play it now, and then because I need to let Apiwe relax a little bit. He seems a bit nervous.
He
inboxed me like 2 weeks ago and I was like, "Yo, I wanna come on Cliff Central and do an interview." And I was like, "Yeah, we'll do it." And then I left it at that. And I'm not very good with communication. And then last night I'm like, "Yo, do you wanna come through to the show and just like, yeah, talk to us?" And he was kind enough to be like, "Yeah,
yeah, ask him.
Let's do it." And I think, is this your first like major radio interview?
I would say it's my second, but it's my first online radio one, and I'm quite excited that it's at Cliff Central because I'm a huge fan of this station and the show.
It's gonna get lit. We're gonna talk about a lot of controversial shit. I wanna know if they're paying you enough, Baba. I wanna know, are they paying actors enough? Why aren't actors on? I wanna know why actors are not doing endorsements. Like, why aren't actors there? You guys have millions of followers. You know, the whole cast of Skim Sam has like a million followers, but I'm like, why aren't I seeing them in billboards and endorsements? Why aren't they being in fashion? Why aren't they being invited to
underwear.
Fashion? You know, like. So we're going to talk a bit more about that, like how, you know, how in terms of entertainment, you know, what important role do actors in this country play and how do actors actually build lucrative careers?
Yeah.
So I really want to look at that. Before that, we're going to get into our mix. Can you guys give me, you know, four or five words to describe this mix before I play it?
Deep, dark.
Deep, dark. Vibey. Tribal.
African.
African. Okay, cool. This mix is an hour, but I mean, we're not going to play an hour. We're going to play 20 minutes of it.
Yeah.
But guys, here's the mix by friends, and it's titled Deep Underground Mix.
Deep Underground.
That was indeed a trance. That was indeed a trance. And we are back. You're live on Cliff Central on the Thread Exchange with Siyabonga Beyile. Please send us a WhatsApp on 0797482090. We are cliffcentral.com, the word on Twitter. Also, you can reach out to us as the show at Threaded Exchange, you know, X for Wakanda, you know. So not exchange is how you spell it, but put the X there and you shall find us. You can ask us any questions. You can check out on my Twitter. I've got APUM Cafe, who's coming from Cape Town, recently moved to Johannesburg, and he just completed season one of Nkululeko, which is on Mzansi Magic, the second most watched show on Mzansi Magic, which I think is very, very, very impressive.
Whoa.
Apio, how are you feeling?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Speak loud. We need to hear you.
I'm really happy to be here.
There we go.
Is that right? All right. We got the levels. Now, I'm happy to be here, guys. What an honor it is to be on the Threaded Exchange. And man, it's been a really good time. You know, Nkululeko is doing quite well. Second most watched show. And it's great because it only plays once a week. You know, yeah. Sunday at 8 o'clock only. We're competing with shows that play 5 times a week, 4 times a week, and we just 1 hour.
Can I ask you, this is your first major show, right?
That is my first TV anything.
I always ask people this. Like, people always ask me, what does it feel like for you to be on a magazine cover for the very first time? Mm. And I won't forget that feeling. I can't imagine how wild TV must feel because now everybody is watching.
Bruh.
When that first episode played and you saw yourself, how did that feel like?
It was a crazy trip. But the thing is, I had already seen it, you know, before it even aired. What was crazier for me was that I didn't tell my parents or my mom, like, while I was shooting.
Oh.
I had to keep it to myself for quite a while because I was like, yo, it's too much pressure, you know. I'm going to tell my mom. She's going to get so excited.
Oh, okay.
And then she's going to be talking about it all the time. I'm like, okay, you know what? Let me just focus on my craft right now. I'll tell you, like, when we're close to airing.
Yeah. Also, another thing is I always feel like so many times in my career, and I've learned this the hard way, I've shot dope campaigns that people will never see. Mm. You know, you go there, you shoot, you get paid, you're like, oh, I'm on a campaign. And then the guy's like, oh, by the way, we'll pay you, but the campaign's not coming out.
Yeah.
So I've learned that the hard way. You can tell people, yo, look at this campaign I got. And people are like, but where's the campaign? Like, hey, guys, they pulled me off.
Mm.
And I know with these film things, they delete scenes.
Yo,
a lot. You're out there PRing, I'm on Kululeko, season one plays, and it's like, but chief, where are you?
Yeah, nothing.
Are you the director? There's a reason why we don't see you. Let's talk, bro.
Yeah.
You come from Gwalanga.
Yes.
We, cool. In fact, grew up together.
Yeah.
I was a bit your senior.
Yeah.
Like 1 or 2 years, like, I think.
A year or two.
We used to ride in the same transport.
Way back.
Used to see each other around. Used to greet each other.
Yeah.
Like, almost 10 years later, you are an actor.
Yeah.
I don't remember you acting.
And you are the threaded man.
I'm the threaded man. So tell me, childhood.
Yeah.
What was your childhood like for you growing up? Like, I have a different experience of Ulanga, of course, and I'm sure you have your own.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about that.
My childhood was very centered around, like, the arts. As much as I didn't know it at the time, I was always around music, you know. I was always around plays, theater. My dad did radio. And that, to me, opened up a lot of doors because he'd go to a lot of shows. He'd be with a lot of artists. And I was just like, oh, man, this is amazing. Mm. You know, the side of life, it's, like, actually quite incredible. But then, as I grew up, like, I never really pursued that, but I always knew that actually I want to be in the industry. I want to do photography. I want to do directing. And picking up a camera actually showed me that actually let me direct, you know, let me chase that academically as well. And Gwalanga, oh, it showed me a lot, you know. I won't say that there's a lot of artists there, but it's a really beautiful place, you know, a place where I saw a lot that I don't really get to see on this side of life here in Joburg.
Yeah.
And that really opened up a lot for me, you know, visually and just aesthetically, and how to tell a story as a director.
Yeah. So, like, when did you make the decision to go into studying film?
Oh, this was 3.5 years ago when I came to Joburg. You know, I started off at Wits, and I was doing politics then. I was like, actually,
you were studying at Wits.
Yeah.
So you had moved from Cape Town to Wits, and then you moved back to Cape Town.
No. I moved from Cape Town to Wits. Then I left Wits, but I was still here in Joburg.
Yeah.
And I was like, actually, you know what? I want to do film. This is not what I want to do at all. And then I pursued it here in Johannesburg. I studied here. I did 1 year in Cape Town for financial reasons. I just had to go back home. But then I finished off right here in Johannesburg at AFTA.
Yeah.
I think we felt the same way. So coming from Cape Town, coming to Joburg, I feel like the transition must have been a bit hectic and intimidating.
Yeah.
So how did it feel? Like, how did you adjust to Joburg?
Joburg, the pace was quite fast, you know. The pace is actually quite quick. A lot of things happen rapidly here.
Ish.
And also the attention here, also after Nkululeko, I've seen that, yo, it's actually way more hyped here in Johannesburg. And, well, I must say that Joburg and Cape Town, there's a lot of differences, but here it's mainly business for me. You know, when I go back to Cape Town, I go back to rest,
relax,
get inspiration, you know. Because I feel like Cape Town's more artistic in a lot of ways.
Keep hitting my table.
And then, I'm so sorry about that. And then I bring that all back here to Joburg, in my work and in everything that I do and the stories that I tell.
Yeah.
We feel the same way too.
So tell me, I mean, another thing is a lot of people think, and I say this with all my guests, I believe in lessons, and I believe that, you know, for me, everything I do, I want to teach.
Mm.
And through this interview, I want to teach. And you said something that struck me. You said, due to financial reasons, I had to go back home.
Mm.
And, you know, a lot of people see you now on Nkululeko, see you pursuing this acting thing, and they'll think it was easy and not understanding how tough it was, you know. You know, even I've been broke so many times where I'm the threaded man, and I'm like, ish, my business is suffering. I need to go back home.
Mm.
You know, having the bravery to understand that your journey is a long one, and to understand that in this journey, there will come times when you're broke, and to stay honest with that is a really tough thing, because most people don't want to say, hey, I'm broke now, let me just retract a little bit. Has, in your journey, have you always been the kind of person to be like, okay, cool, if something goes wrong, if I'm broke, I'm going to go back home. It's fine. Rebuild, come back. Was that something you did consciously that you thought about? Or have you just always been that way to be like, you know what, let me go back home and chill?
Sometimes life forces you to just calm down, you know? And I mean, it's, I won't say it's an L, but it's a really big lesson, you know? It's really humbling also to just actually...
That was a good pun.
Yeah.
It's not an L, it's a lesson. It's still an L.
It's just not a loser, it's a lesson. Yeah. But like, just to, you know, bring yourself towards yourself, because at the end of the day, you also understand that this is something that you know you're going to get to, you know? It might not be right now, but let me just take a step back. Let me take a breather. Let me refocus. Let me refocus my energy and just think and plan so that I can move forward again. Because if I'm going to beat myself up and things aren't working out, but I'm still trying to push, I can do more damage than good, you know, to myself, to my brand, to what I want to pursue. And as a matter of fact, going back to Cape Town was not a loss at all, because that's where I got Nkululeko.
Oh, wow.
That's where the auditions were. That's where I stumbled across Bomb Productions, who for the longest time I was trying to knock on their door. But lo and behold, when I went home, then everything came together.
Amazing. Yeah. Now tell me, you know, you said you've always been, and I think that's also another thing that I want to highlight, is that a lot of young people always, I mean, our peers, let me say young people, makes it sound like I'm older, but a lot of our peers will always ask me, did you always know you wanted to be the threaded man? Did you always know you want to be in fashion? And to be quite honest, half the time, I actually don't know what the fuck I'm doing. All I know is that every day I pursue to live what I love. You know, I pursue to chase my passion. So as it sounds to you, went to AFTA, you studied film, you studied writing and all these things, but then was acting your main priority, or you were like, you know what, I want to try different things and see where they lead?
Acting was not like in my line of sight. I wasn't aiming for acting, but acting is something that came to me, I guess. You know, acting chose me. And that was like a great blessing for me, because now that I was in the acting space, now I'm in a place to actually look where else I could go, you know, and also build onto this craft, because someone else saw something in me and was like, you know what, we want you to act. And I was like, ish, okay. As much as I didn't know anything about acting, I knew a lot about what the director wanted to see, so I could translate that. I knew a lot about what writers want actors to do with their scripts, so I could translate that. So acting wasn't necessarily something I was aiming for, but it was something great that happened to me, and I'm really pursuing it.
Amazing. Now let's chat about Nkululeko. How does that happen? You're back home in Cape Town, you're finishing your studies, you're like, ish, I'm broke a little bit.
Yeah,
I need to
a lot of bits. Yo, let me
minus 5 rand. You're on minus 5 rand, you're saying, ish,
it was the craziest thing.
Talk us through that experience.
Let me tell you the day. I even remember the day and everything that happened. My friend called me. He's like, I want you to shoot something for me, and we need to go somewhere. Like in the morning, he called me. He's like, I need you to shoot something for me. I'm going to pay you whatever, whatever. I'm like, all right, cool, let's go. It's money. I go. I meet some models, whatever, and these girls are talking about an audition, you know, Bomb Productions. I'm like, what? Okay, let me see.
Yeah.
I look at it, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I get back home. Send my details. They call me up the same evening. They're like, come through tomorrow to the auditions. I'm like, okay, cool. And that was that. It was just fluid from there, you know. And the crazy thing is, at the auditions, I met people that like I admired, you know, producers that I admired, writers that I admired, directors. And I was like, whoa, this is actually all crazy. All these people that I've always wanted to work with are now in this room, and they're looking at me, you know, to lead the show. And it was actually quite amazing. Pure luck and chance, but I'm grabbing it and I'm running.
Yeah. So can you tell us a bit more about Nkululeko? What's it about? What's the story?
Nkululeko is a coming of age story about a 17-year-old kid and his three friends. You know, they make a really terrible decision one night and they end up killing a police officer who happens to be his love interest's dad. Yeah.
What?
These dramas, they always start with a killing. Bah! And then, yeah, the story basically, it's a crazy sequence of events that just rolls off from there. And
it's like How to Get Away with Murder, but it goes.
So yeah, it's about these kids that tried to get out of the situation, you know. And then there's another guy, Poncho, played by Bongile Mantsai, who comes into the story and basically manipulates them into selling drugs. And my character doesn't want to, because he's quite ambitious and he's smart and he's a genius, you know. He's got a future ahead of him, but his friends, they've also got their own problems. The one actually wants to sell the drugs. The other one is gay on the side. So a lot is just really happening. Yeah. And there's just a lot of conflict. And the stakes are really raised to another level.
Wow.
Now, I want to also ask, I mean, for me, out of Nkululeko, I think the whole cast is amazing. It's diverse. It's young. But for me, you and Shalima stood out.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about her. What has it been like working with her? And I've seen you guys attended. What is that? Is it Verve Clicquot Masters in Cape Town that you went to?
Yes, yes.
So what it's been like with the castmates, and you know, how has it been like working with them in that experience? Because you're all these strangers who are all actors, and how do you build that fluidity to be like, okay, let's build a relationship to order to work together very well?
Well, it happened quite like it was quite genuine and authentic, because Shalima knew before the show. And another actor, Zizi Pobuta, knew before the show. And with them coming into the space, Shalima has already been an actor. You know, she's got experience in the game, and this was my first project. So she was someone I could actually go to and talk to about actors' rights and what we deserve and what treatment we're supposed to be getting. You know, she's someone who knows her. She knows her stuff. You know, she knows her shit. So she was always on the ball. You know, and I learned a lot from her. So with her, it was really learning, you know, I took a lot from her, and she does quite well on the show playing a character, Buhle's sister.
Yeah. Okay, you have something to say there, Ernest?
Jumping back to the auditions, how easy was it for you to convince your parents to let you go to auditions and pursue your
I didn't tell them.
You didn't?
I didn't tell them. I only told them when I was like, got a job.
Okay.
And that was it for like a little while.
Because most parents would be like,
Oh, okay, cool, cool, got a job. And then later I was like, actually, this job, I'm acting. I'm going to be on TV. And they're like, oh, okay, where? Mzansi Magic. Then you know black families, Mzansi Magic. It's like,
your family seems like they're very much, you know, in this space. You said your dad was on radio. Mm. So was there always this pressure for you to sort of be in the industry? Or were they like completely against it? Like, yo, we don't want you today. We want you educated. We want you having a 9-to-5 job.
Weirdly enough, my family is actually quite supportive. They always knew that I want to do something in the industry. They were never really sure what it is exactly. Mm. But they were always supportive about it. You know, they were always like, no, this is what a peer wants to do. You know, pursue whatever you're pursuing. And yeah, but now that it finally came into fruition and they can actually see it now, it's actually really helped a great, great deal.
Yeah. Now, moving to Johannesburg, okay? So now you get into Inkululeko. Mm. Now you know it's happening. It premieres. How does your life change? You know, one of the things I wish has happened in my career, I wish, like, the year that I experienced fame or when I blew up, I wish someone could have asked me what I was feeling and going through at the time. Because it's almost like the slow build-up you never see coming. It's like, One person's like, oh, I saw you on that thing. They're like, dope. Then the next month, 10 people approach you. Then all of a sudden, thousands of people are tweeting about you. So for you right now, what is it like to be in your... Has your life changed a little bit? Being exposed to the industry, going to events? Are you finding yourself now being invited to things where you're like, before you were not being invited? Yeah. You know, you're going from breaking into venues. Now you get invited to venues. Yeah, how has that been like?
It's actually been quite a trip because, you know, from sneaking in to being invited, and now also people that I've always watched on television are coming up to me like, oh, Apiwe, oh, yes, you're doing a great job, whatever. And I'm just like in awe as like, wow, Umenzi Mbani, you know, from I've watched him as a kid. And he walks into the room, he looks at me and he knows me immediately. I'm like, whoa, this is absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And the reception from people, it's actually very weird. Like, I really enjoy, you know, talking to kids and little children that come up to me and run up on me and all of that. But also, like, from people that I know, that's been, like, the strangest one. You know, now they look at me differently. Like,
But do they look at you differently in a negative or positive way? Or is it a bit of both?
It's a bit of both. There's nothing in between. It's either positive
or negative. So what are the negatives you find?
The negatives I find, it's like, now you don't want to, like, put us on, you know? I'm like, guys, I don't own this, you know? This is not my thing. I was also put on, and they're like, he doesn't want to put us on, so it's that. I'm just like, you know what? If you're not going to add So it's like, if you're not going to add fuel to my fire, then it's fine. Don't be around me.
And the good things?
The good thing, the support, you know? Because, I mean, it's quite daunting being in front of so many people, and everywhere you go, you know, people just want to like tug on you and talk to you and all of that. But my friends have really been like supportive, you know, pushing me and like telling me to like continue and to like go further. Because some people think that now that you're here, you've made it, you've done it, you know, you don't need to do anything else. But this is just the beginning.
Yeah.
This is just the first step to, I mean, greater things. I mean, we're trying to go very far with this.
Yeah. And also, like, you think about this thing, like, people always tell me that I've been around for a while, and then I'm like, talk to Somizi and ask if I've been around for a while. That guy has been around for over 30 years. Can you imagine? Like
30 years in the game.
30 years in the game. Can you imagine? And I think a lot of us are in this space of like quick rush, quick everything. And let me tell you something crazy as well, is that the feeling that you feel now of like, whoa, this person knows me, it doesn't go away for at least 5 years. I still feel people don't know me. Like, I'll walk into a space and be like, I'm Sebile. Everyone's like, of course we know who you are. And I'm like, snap. Like, yeah, I don't even. And it's so crazy because, like, especially when you come from where we come from, you know, where you struggle and you know, you do these things, you build your brand, and then it's not like someone gives you a certificate to say, okay, you've made it now. Everyone knows who you are. You only know it when you're out there in the field, really. And you see it getting worse and worse, how many people know you. And sometimes you don't want to be in that arrogant space where you walk into a room and you're like, oh, people know who I am. Then it turns around that people don't know who you are.
Yeah.
So I still have that paranoia of, like, let me introduce myself. And then people are like, why are you introducing yourself? You see Abile. And I'm like, but you can't walk. There's like 55 million people in South Africa.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Out of those 55 million people, only 50,000 follow me. So there's a huge, it's still good 95% that don't know who the heck I am. So I can't walk around thinking people know who I am.
And also, I'm not trying to, I don't want to validate myself by other people, you know,
exactly.
Or other people knowing me. I'm just trying to be my own, you know, competition and just do my best. And I know that that'll be enough for me.
Yeah. Let me give you a bit of a breather because now we're going to get into our debate for the show. I want to know how much actors are being paid in South Africa. Are they being paid enough?
You know,
where do South African actors fall in the spectrum of entertainment? Where do they fall in the spectrum of influence?
Yeah.
You know, are the production companies the ones paying actors low money, or is it the channels? You know, I just want to understand more about the ins and outs of the industry, and most importantly, how can it be better? You know, how do we build the next superstars of the world? How do we get the next Lupitas out there? How do we get the next Trevor Noahs out there? So I want to talk to you about that. And I'll do that on the other side of this. But please do WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090. Tell us what you think. Apio is right here. He can answer all your questions about Nkululeko and also maybe about your favorite actors. And if you're a crush, you can tell him you're crushing on him.
Oh wow.
He's out here, he's with us, and he's gonna be here up until 3 o'clock.
This is CliffCentral.com.
This is our Selamanz. In the Teta Gurret Yang Maniswa. This is your Selamanz. We long Selamanz. This is our Teta Gule discussion of Ababandus Babona Gomba Modakute by a patalo na. Do actors get paid in this country?
What I will say is this. Nah. Actors should be very smart about how they approach things. It's a business at the end of the day, and you can be exploited if you don't know the business. And what a lot of actors, you know, stumble into, a lot of new actors especially. I was lucky enough to have my family around me, lawyers, people who are quite familiar with the industry. My aunt, who's been in the media for a lot of years, she's a spokesperson for people in government. So I could really reach out to a lot of people on my end. But what I saw is that a lot of actors, they will just grab the opportunity because this is the platform and everyone will know my face, you know, and they'll settle for the least that they can settle for. But if you know how much you're worth and you stick with that, then definitely you will get what you deserve.
How do you even begin? Let me say now I'm a young actor. I go to an audition and I end up on a show. Now there's a contract in place to say you're going to be Amanda or Nkululeko. And this is how much we're going to pay you. Now I'm a nobody. So how do you even gauge your worth? I mean, you get what I'm saying. Then, you know, you were lucky because you had this solid foundation of people around you who could, you know, help you with this. But like, if you had to be up here who had none of those, you've been given this opportunity, you know, on the other hand, the channel and the show can say, we're giving you a platform, you're nobody, you're not acting anywhere. You know, how do you even begin those negotiations, especially when you're dealing with like a bomb production or like Ferguson Films? How do you even begin to state your value?
You must really stand your ground and also know a lot about the business. Because, I mean, if you're on a prime time slot, how much are the ads paying to be on that slot?
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of money. Channels make a lot of money, you know.
Yeah.
If you can literally just stand your ground and say this is how much you're worth, this is your cost of living base, like firstly, you know, cover that. And then how far you want to take it and how much you think you deserve, really. What you've done, what you know you can bring to the table. Also, like, if you've schooled, it puts a lot on the, it puts the price up, if I can say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't really put exact figures on it, but don't settle for less.
So let me put me, I'm not going to ask you about how much you get paid. That's just a lot. But let's say I'm a Siyabeile, never been in the industry, and I'm being ripped off. What is a rip-off figure? So let's say I'm a lead actor in a primetime slot. And I'm being ripped off. And how much is a ripoff? So, for example, if I said to you, I'm on a primetime slot, I'm earning 20 G's a month, 20 grand a month. Is that a ripoff?
No.
It's not a ripoff.
No. We, like some actors, hey, they will go for 3 to 5K, imagine.
3 to 5K a month on a prime time.
Imagine.
And how much time does it take to shoot? Like, I mean, that's another thing that used to make me nervous about, like, Generations or these soapies. I mean, the hours are long. You guys shoot for days, locations. So how do you shoot for all these days and only earn
5,000?
5,000.
That's the part of knowing the business, you know, and knowing your worth and knowing.
But then do you think it's the production company's fault or is it the talent? So, I mean, on the other hand, you can argue and say, I mean, as a business, you always try and pay the least amount.
Yeah.
So if you, because in life, you always get what you negotiate. So if I'm booking you for a gig and I'm putting 5 grand and you're taking it, then I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So can it be, do you think then it's the production companies or is it the actors?
I'd say it's a bit of both because they're not going to try and teach you, you know, and tell you what you're supposed to, you know, they will obviously go for the least because they're a business and they're trying to save money on their end. And as the talent, if you're not trying to make the money, then you are in danger.
Yeah. And the acting industry also for me in South Africa seems very, it's almost like, I'm not going to compare it to the influencer industry, but there's not a lot of regulation. So as an actor, for example, I want to know, do you pay tax? I want to know, are there actual bodies that are there to protect your rights? So if you're a young actor that is getting into acting and you want to know, okay, is this my worth or not? Is there a body, an independent body that's there that you can approach and say, hey guys, I'm on this show, but they want to only pay me 5,000 and rand a month. Can you help me negotiate? Are there bodies there to help young talent, you know, to get what they deserve? And thirdly, so I'm asking you three questions at once, but thirdly, I also want to know, do you also then think, are there any favoritism in the industry? Have you seen that favoritism? So, you know, let's say I was working on both Brown Productions or Nkululeko or Brown Productions, like, yo, Sia, can you act on Isibaya if they do Isibaya? So do you think that the industry gives enough opportunity for young talent to come through? Or do you think the industry, you know, 50 or 60% of
just
it
shuffling
is
the same faces.
Shuffling the same faces?
A lot of them are really just shuffling the same faces. But also with that, I must say that, okay, firstly, there are associations because it is a workspace. So there is the South African Actors Guild Association that you can go to know if your rights are being violated, you know, especially for women. Also, there's a lot of like men are trash things that happens around sets and stuff because it's a male
dominated
or yes, yeah, dominated by males, that environment. So yeah, there are organizations you can go to. And then the favoritism part, I wouldn't say favoritism per se, because some actors really have experience in the game, so they will obviously really be chosen and catered for before newer faces, because they'll bring in more revenue and all of that. But yeah, a lot of companies really do stick to their own. And as someone who came from outside in, I will say that it wasn't necessarily difficult. No, it was difficult actually getting here. As someone who has knocked on the doors a lot of times, it was. But once you're inside, then you actually understand that, oh, okay, there's actually quite a closed circuit. You know, the people here, they'll use people within this room. They're not really going to go far to go look out. Maybe once every 5 to 10 years, which is unfortunate. You know? But we can't always look at the three biggest production companies. Where are the other ones? Who's starting other ones? Oof. Could we not do it on our own?
Yeah.
And what's your view on that? Do you think there are enough, how can I put this? You're going back to the production company, you're saying we're looking at the same production companies that are running the whole thing. I know in the advertising industry we have Ogilvy, which basically dominates everything. So, and in terms of where we are as a country right now, are there enough black-owned production companies coming through?
No.
And do not tell me about Ofekasin.
No. No, they are not.
They are not.
Unfortunately, they are not.
So how is that for you to deal with? Just why people always...
It is stressful. You know, you'll even find that a lot of the black stories that we love were written by white people. You know, these were white writers.
I heard of Sibaya.
Or Yuzo. You know... White people created it. White people wrote it.
Incredible.
You know, obviously with like our help and influence and all of that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it also comes down to money and support because unfortunately, when it comes to a black man trying to start his own production company and get it on the air, a lot of people won't really trust it because why? we don't know him, we don't know what he's done, you know, which is quite unfortunate. And I do think as much as people want the industry to be open, they themselves need to be open to viewing other people's work, you know, and not necessarily hogging onto the same stuff that they know and that the they're comfortable stuff, with. Yeah.
All right. So in the future, do you hope to have your own production company?
Definitely.
Doing blockbuster movies?
Definitely. I mean, the world is watching Africa right now, you know? And I mean, with ABC, we're making films. We started making short films and things like that.
Mm.
And with more revenue that we're making and everything, we're definitely going to be making our own films in the near future.
Can I ask something very key? You said something around the fact that, you know, these circles are closed-knit. And it's something that I think about. You know, on the one end, you're saying that it's unfortunate that, you know, these production companies sort of use these pools of talent because they've worked with them before.
It's
they
familiar.
Bring in their revenue. But also, I think there's something special that, and on the negative space is that they're not bringing in new talent, right? But then on the positive aspect is that for them, those guys make sense because they already understand how that business works.
Yeah.
What I've found with my business, and especially now that I'm sort of thinking about who I work with, I'm also looking to build my own circle of people that I work with, because when you work with a lot of different people, you're working also with people who don't understand the industry.
Mm.
So you and the way of carrying yourself. That's another thing, is that beyond you just being on set, you're also a brand ambassador. So everything that you do, everything that you say on
reflects
social media
on the show,
reflects on the show. Who's around you reflects on the show. Sometimes you find yourself, you work with someone, they're attached to your brand, and then they go off. Or you find someone where, I'm sure you guys are, like, there's a lot of probably conflict as well, where there's certain issues that occur. You're shooting with these people months on end. So, of course, there's going to be shit that's going to happen. Then you find that someone who doesn't have experience will go on Twitter and tweet about that. You know what I'm saying? So I can understand from a business perspective that it's easier. That's why, you know, a lot of these modeling agencies, even in Hollywood, Hollywood works with actors
that they are familiar with.
Even
directors.
Even directors, because as a businessman, I would want to put my billion rands to a film director that I know is going to produce and direct the best movie and bring me cash. Do you get what I'm saying? So how do you think we find a balance between that? Because at the end of the day, I could be seen as someone like, well, going forward, I can be seen as someone who's not using as many people as I should, or not giving as much opportunity as I should. But then at the same time, it's like, but I also need to protect my business, because it's one thing to say to me on Twitter, yo, I want to model for you, and then when you model for me, you realize there's long hours, you have to wait, there's certain things that happen, and then instead of talking to me about them, you go and tweet about it. And I've had a lot of those experiences. So how do you think we find a balance? How do you think we give opportunity, but then at the same time we also make the money we're supposed to make based on the people that we are, you know, working with? And, you know, at the end of the day, we still wanna build that talent, because, you know, your Nomzamos won't be Nomzamos for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
There has to be another Nomzamo. There has to be another, you know, Atandokani. There has to be another one. So how do we build the others while still maintaining the integrity of what we have and what we're building?
I think it comes with a lot of risk from the company, and because they have to teach you a lot, you know. Coming into Bomb Productions, we learned a lot about the business, how to conduct yourself, and we saw that, okay, they're actually kind of babying us, because we didn't know anything as soon as we came on. And I guess for them that's a bit of a slowdown, because now you're working with new people that you have to teach, that you have to you know, teach a lot of things. And imagine doing this now all the time. How far would you actually go with that? You know, so I do kind of understand why it's not that easy to get in, and why they only use people that they've already got. But at the same time, I also understand the importance of letting other people, you know,
it's an investment.
Into space. Yeah,
it's an investment for the whole. Yeah, it's an investment for the whole industry, I think.
Because I mean, a lot of directors that we've even seen, they do the same thing. I mean, Martin Scorsese and Robert De Niro. If it wasn't for Scorsese, De Niro wouldn't be the De Niro that we know today. Samuel L. Jackson and Tarantino.
Yeah, it's vice versa. It works both ways. Yeah. So I think maybe it's just more of companies just need to be very upfront about what they expect from the talent. From the get-go. I mean, I'm sure that's what it was with Bomb Productions.
Yeah, it was definitely.
Basically told you, this is what you expect, X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
If you don't deliver, this is what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and then let's talk about, Kulego Season 1 is now done. Where do you see yourself going? Let me just say now, you've walked through the gates now. You're in the industry now. You're here. Whether you feel like you're not or aren't, you're here. What's next for you? What are some of the things you want to explore? You know, where do you see your career flourishing in the next
year? Where are the chess pieces moving now?
For me personally, what Nkululeko taught me, it showed me my strengths. You know, it showed me, I did a lot of voiceovers for the show. It showed me that I can use my voice a lot, you know. And also now, being signed under Munyin's agency, I've also seen that, okay, I can actually maneuver in a lot of different directions. There's film, there's series, there's vocal training that I've been going to. I can do radio, I can do voiceovers, because I can
You're
do a lot
steal
of,
my job.
I can do a lot of voiceovers without actually exploiting my face, you know, without actually being in the limelight too much. And that's something that I'm actually heading towards. And then feature films. Definitely feature films, because a lot of international films are actually being shot in Cape Town, believe it or not. A lot of international series, Netflix is coming down, a lot of things are happening. So that's the space that I really want to go to, because I feel like if you can breach that space, then you can really go far internationally.
Especially. Do you think, in terms of in the next day, do you think you can direct your own feature film?
Definitely.
Do you see yourself directing some music videos and all that?
Music videos I could do, yes, but I'm more about film, you know. I'm more about telling a story. Yeah, that's really what I want to do. And telling stories in Cape Town, because I feel like, the Cape Town that South Africa knows isn't the Cape Town that I know and love.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not the one that we know.
It's not the one that we know at all. I mean, there are so many amazing stories that we could tell, just Gwalanga even. Only.
Yeah.
You know, there's Uprenda Fassie who came from there, who deserves her own story.
Mandela used to go to that hood, bruh. All the time to visit Benaf. People don't know these things.
They don't know. And that's why I think it's important for someone like me to be in the space right now and to tell these stories. They need to be told.
Amazing. And then besides film, I know you've always had a finesse and like for fashion. Tell me more about that. Are you looking to go into a bit of fashion? Are you looking to even start your own company where you can house all these different things? Because when I look at you, I mean, I don't see you as just a film actor guy. I see you as an all-round creative that also likes music, that likes fashion and all these things. So is there plans to pursue those other things at the same time?
For now, I'm focusing on the directing, the acting, and the writing. But definitely I'm looking to go into fashion, you know, endorsing, wearing other people's clothes. I love what close-up people are doing right now. So I just really want to stick with my X-Men and focus and
X-Men.
That's good.
Focus and just really be around that. But when it comes to fashion, I'm not someone who makes clothes, but I can really put together, you know, nice ensembles and carry it and represent it quite well. So definitely you will see me on the fashion
screen. So now we've come to the end of the show.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to give you, you know, two things. I need two things from you. First and foremost, what advice can you give to young actors that are listening? They've been struggling. They've been auditioning. They're like, fuck this shit. I'm tired. This industry has the same faces. I'm bitter. I'm angry. I'm gonna go tweet. So what do you have to say for young aspiring actors?
There is a lot of room in the industry. Make your own, you know. Don't necessarily look at someone else's space and be like, I want to be a part of that space. Make your own. Make a lot of noise. Create. And they will notice. Trust me, the streets are actually watching. These people, they actually look down a lot for inspiration, you know, and you find that a lot of the ideas on the ground are actually way better than the ones on top.
Yeah.
So really create your own. Do things for yourself and people are watching. Trust me, you will find a gap and you'll make it in your own time. Trust the process.
Dope. And then where can people find you? Give us your tags across the board. Where can you find you?
Twitter, it's _APMKEFE. Instagram, it's APMKEFE. APUMKEFE, you can find me online. You can find me all over the place, yeah.
Cool. He doesn't have a phone right now. He just got mine.
Oh, man, crime.
but he'll have a phone soon. So yes,
but I wasn't going to give anyone my number. So.
Yeah, so he'll respond. He'll respond to your tweets and your love. Anga Ernest? Power words for the week from friends?
I think Apure killed it. Trust the process.
Yeah.
Trust the process. Guys, this is Siyabonga Beyila on another installment of The Thread Exchange. Thank you so much for joining us. Please look out for the podcast, which will be coming out, you know, anytime. You're probably listening to the podcast right now because this is live. And also, please check out the mix on Friends' SoundCloud page. It's Friends, right? Yeah. So check out the mixes there. And also, yeah, stay fly, stay cool, stay focused. Also, please tweet us which, you know, guests you feel should be on the show. I want to interview young people doing things, making things, shake and making things move. I'm Sia Bile, signing out of The Thread Exchange, and I'm going to close the show with some Kendrick Lamar.
This is CliffCentral.com.